Creator God, you prepare a new way in the wilderness, and your grace waters the desert. Help us to recognize your hand working miracles beyond our imagining. Open our hearts to be transformed by the new thing you are doing, so that our lives may proclaim the extravagance of your love for all and its presence in Jesus Christ. Amen. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to all. Well, wait a minute, I can hear you saying. Has he finally gone off the deep end? What's wrong with him? He's gotten his seasons all mixed up. Well, maybe so, but bear with me for a minute to see if I can make a case for quoting Longfellow's beautiful Christmas poem here on the fifth Sunday of Lent. When you think of Fairview Community Church and its 70-plus year history, I don't know, 75, 74, 70, somewhere in there, 70-plus year history, what are some of the old familiar carols that you've played and sung? You can answer if you want.
Huh? Actual songs
or
just...
old familiar carols in particular, because of song. Every Sunday's Easter Sunday.
Carry the light.
Amen. Yeah. What are some of the memories that you hold sacred as you look to the past? Like the Apostle Paul, what might you find in your pedigree, that is the pedigree of Fairview Community Church, about which to brag? Paul's never guilty of that, is he? The psalmist sings, when God brought Zion's captives home, it seemed to us like a dream. But then our mouths were full of laughter and our tongues uttered shouts of joy. When God brought the captives home, what do you think were their images of home? What were their sacred memories? To what were they looking forward? For what were they hoping? What would have touched them so deeply that their mouths were full of laughter and their tongues uttered shouts of joy? I know there have been times in this church life, there have been times in church life when I've longed for the good old days. Anybody else with me? Once in a while, huh? I imagine you have. Christmas and to a lesser degree Easter are times when we are particularly vulnerable to nostalgia. Isn't there a touch of this nostalgia in Longfellow's lines? I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play. One commentator notes the space between the first three verses of Psalm 126 with its jubilant song of coming home and those final three verses which take on a more somber tone. In that blank space in the middle of the psalm, there is a kind of invitation to reflective silence, if you will. The song of jubilant homecoming becomes a prayer request. Restore our fortunes, O God. What if you really can't go home again? What if the place you remember no longer really exists? Given the destruction of Israel and Judah by the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the many years that they'd spent in captive exile, what are the chances that anything would remain as they remembered it? Besides which, those who are coming home are coming to a place that they've actually never seen before. It's a whole new generation of people that are coming back to the promised land. They're Their hopes and dreams are wholly based on the stories they've heard and the sacred memories that have been shared, passed down by their parents and their grandparents through the ages. There's wisdom beyond laughter and shouts of joy. On reflection, there's a realization that restoration will in fact require tears in sowing before there is ever any joy in reaping. There's work to be done to establish home and to live into God's promise of great things done for them. This psalm is a song of hope in the promise, in that promise, as much as it is a shout of joy for a dream fulfilled. Hope for peace on earth? We can't even find peace in our own backyard. Hope for peace on earth, dreams of goodwill for all. Longfellow, like many of us, when confronted with the harshness of reality, has his own crisis of faith. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to all. And isn't that true today? All around this world in which we live, for us, hate is still strong. Many voices unite to mock the song of peace on earth, goodwill to all. We could give up in despair to all the chaos and craziness around us. War, disease, climate crises, homelessness, refugees and immigrants desperate to find a safe home, the ongoing political crisis in our own nation and beyond, the lack of ethical consideration across the board, and the general incivility in speech and in action. That's just a few of the things that challenge our living in this time and in this place. We can see the truth that hope is not yet realized and dreams are not yet fulfilled. And honestly, it wasn't so in the past. It wasn't in the past either. It wasn't so in the past either. Longfellow wrote his poem at the time when the thundering cannons of the American Civil War threatened to drown out the bells of peace and goodwill. We don't sing this verse of this poem, but the poet agonized. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to all. And I read daily Heather Cox Richardson. Some of you may read her. She wonders if we are not on the brink of a similar crisis in this country as we cannot learn to live together and practice peace and goodwill. In fact, precious memories and sacred stories could not hold the nation together then. Can they hold us together now? They were threatened with extinction. Do we face a similar crisis today? No matter how lovely our sacred memories are and how comforting we find the old familiar carols, we are always being called to God's new thing. As Paul concedes, all of his accomplishments are nothing compared to life in Christ Jesus. And isn't our ongoing exploration and discovery of what it means to find life, real life in Christ, what being Christ's body in the here and now is all about? Isn't that where we will find ultimately the peace that passes understanding and true goodwill for all? Isaiah cautions on God's behalf, do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing, God says. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? God's new thing, can you see it? I don't think Isaiah is urging us literally to forget the past. Frankly, I don't think we can forget the past. We carry it with us. It's part of our makeup. In the words of the wise philosopher George Santayana, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Some of you know that from heart, right? At the same time, those who pin their hopes and dreams in nostalgia for the past run the same risk, the risk of repeating it. You can't really go back to the future. We don't have that DeLorean, do we? Holding our precious memories and sharing our sacred stories, and they are precious and they are sacred, but those things become meaningful only as they help us live our lives today and move into the future. Important as it may be, don't get hung up on the past, God says. I'm about to do a new thing, and I want you to be part of it. In seeking a balance among past, present, and future, my beloved mentor and friend David Bartlett tells us that a big part of what we do at church is remember what God has done, don't we? We read an ancient word every Sunday, right? We remember what God has done, and we anticipate the ever new thing God is about to do. Is that true for us? Especially in this time of transition for Fairview? Are we in a place of both remembering what God has done in this place, which is significant, and anticipating the ever new thing God is about to do with and for Fairview, which may also be significant? You know, one of my precious memories, I'm reading John Meacham's biography of John Lewis. It's a wonderful, wonderful biography. One of my precious memories is being present as a green college sophomore. Anybody remember being a college sophomore? You thought you knew something, but you weren't quite so sure. Anyway, as a green college sophomore on April 4th, 1967, a long time ago, I know, but on that day, Martin Luther King Jr. delivered his important and controversial address, Beyond Vietnam, A Time to Break Silence, at the historic Riverside Church in New York City, just up the street from where I was in school, and I wandered up with 3,500 other people to hear that speech. I'm sure I remember the awe of being there more than I remember exactly what he said, but I do remember the sense that he was shaking the foundations. Fortunately, that address has been reprinted many times over and circulated around the world. You can get it and read it. On that day, King, not forgetting the past, refused to be bound by it. He chose not to hold himself captive to the expectations of many that he restrict his proclamation and his activity to being the civil rights leader that America had come to expect him, though for many reluctantly, to be. Really kind of an Uncle Tom, if we're honest. You see, God was leading toward a new thing, and King perceived it. Those longing for the good old days were outraged. But like Paul before him, King was determined. He said this, "Beloved, this one thing I do." In competition, I want you to hear this. That's what you get for being on a busy corner, folks. It's part of your legacy and your witness to be here on this particular corner. King said, "Beloved, this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind." I lost my place here, my hand. Okay. You see, God was leading toward a new thing, and King perceived it. Those longing for the good old days were outraged, but like Paul before him, King was determined. Beloved, this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. On that day, on that spring day 50 years ago, King perceived God's new thing, and he urged his audience to see the dream that our forebears dreamed, to hold their hope for the fulfillment of God's promise that there would be real peace on earth and an abundance of goodwill for all. This is what he said on that day. Now let us begin. Now let us rededicate ourselves to the long and bitter but beautiful struggle for a new world. This is the calling of the sons and daughters of God, and our siblings wait eagerly for our response. Shall we say the odds are too great? Shall we tell them the struggle is too hard? Will our message be that the forces of American life militate against their arrival as full persons and we send our deepest regrets? Or will there be another message of longing, of hope, of solidarity with their yearnings, of commitment to their cause, whatever the cost? Oh, aren't we seeing this in Ukraine today? The choice is ours, and though we might prefer it otherwise, we must choose in this moment, in this crucial moment of human history. Again, we find ourselves at a crucial moment in human history, as it is a crucial moment in the story of this congregation. Of course, what happens to Fairview Community Church is not as monumental as what is being played out on the stage of human history. But are they not somehow intertwined? Is God's new thing for Fairview unrelated to God's new thing for the world God loves and seeks to redeem? I don't think it is. Whatever path you choose or shape you take, you can still dedicate yourselves to the long and bitter but beautiful struggle for a new world, God's new thing. Our footprint may be small compared to others, but faithfulness to the gospel calls us to continue to seek God's new thing both for us and for all the world. It urges us to press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call in God. Of God in Christ Jesus. It encourages us to sow in sorrow and reap in joy whatever seed God places in our hands. It's not likely the future will look anything like the past, friends. Time marches on, life ebbs and flows. We gray, we lose our hair, everything changes. Change is the only constant. Yet through it all, God is present, keeping watch above God's own. God's new thing, old as time, fresh as tomorrow, is out there waiting for us, wanting us to help bring it into being today. Do you see it? Are you willing to give yourself to it? Lent, Easter, Christmas, and all the time in between. Past, present, future are all in God's hands. So maybe even on this fifth Sunday of Lent in 2022, we can look to God's new thing and sing with Longfellow. Then peal the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does God sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to all.